praise thee, Lord, for thy great plan, that we thy dwelling place may be.
Welcome to Life Study of the Bible, brought to you by Living Stream Ministry. These programs are based on the ministry of Witness Lee and his 21-year-long crowning work, The Life Study of the Bible. We'll include excerpts from his spoken ministry, which focuses on the enjoyment of Christ as the divine life as revealed in the Bible. We hope that through these studies, you'll be brought into a deeper enjoyment of the Scriptures and of our dear and precious Lord Jesus. You can contact us by sending email to radio@lsm.org or reach us toll-free, 888-LIFE-STUDY. Now, let's join today's program. In Matthew 25, the Lord Jesus reveals that when he comes back to earth, he will sit on the throne of his glory in judgment of the unbelievers who are alive at his coming. How will he judge them? Well, not as we might think. For as unbelievers, they cannot be judged according to the gospel of grace. Yet the righteous ones in this judgment are able to enter into eternal life. The mystery of the eternal gospel is our focus today, and Dick Taylor has joined us once again for this really remarkable portion from Matthew 25. Welcome back, Dick.
Thanks, Chris. It really is a remarkable section. What a condensed prophecy.
In these two chapters, chapters 24 and 25, we've had many parables now, Dick, touching the end times. Parables that cover Israel and the Jews at the time of the Lord's return, and parables that deal with the church and the believers. And now today we come to a section that deals primarily with the unbelievers that are alive at the time that the Lord returns. Briefly, in kind of a recap, what have we seen regarding Israel and the church from the earlier parables in these two chapters?
This prophetic word concerning Israel and the church is marvelous. The Lord spoke firstly concerning Israel, how they will pass through a number of things. There will be many things that take place from the time of Christ's ascension all the way to the consummation of the age, and how there'll be many natural calamities, etc. And eventually, it mentions how Israel will pass through the great tribulation. And his main burden in these chapters is to show something of his coming. But related to his coming, Israel will only see his open coming. That means when they visibly see him coming back, that will be his coming to them, whereas it's quite different with the church. In Matthew 24:30, it says, "At that time, the sign of the Son of Man will appear in heaven, and then all the tribes of the land will mourn," that's Israel, "and they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory." So Israel, related to his coming, will only see his final, full, outward manifestation. There'll be a great repentance among those who see him and a great mourning. Then concerning the church, we've seen that the church are those who are believers in Christ and those who have Christ in them as their life, and that we're charged by the Lord in these chapters to watch and to be ready, to be faithful, to be prudent, to be on the alert. What does this mean? This means to be full of the divine life, to be a person who loves to take care of Christ as life in their spirit and in their heart. Be a person full of life so that we're in a state of readiness. And concerning the church's experience of the Lord's coming, it will be the experience of his parousia, which means his presence, and his coming over a period of time, related to those who are the believers in Christ. So that during this period of time, those who are really ripe in the divine life and who have matured could be raptured by the Lord, taken by the Lord. And even though the other believers may go through many things, many difficult experiences, the whole burden is that the ripening process would continue until he could receive all of his believers and eventually bring them to the clouds and to bring them to the judgment seat of Christ. So his coming to the church will be in a secret way, but his coming to Israel will be in an open way. May we, as the believers in Christ, exercise our being every day to be those full of life, full of watchfulness and readiness and prudence and faithfulness, so that we could be taken secretly by the Lord during this period of time called His parousia, His presence, His coming over a period of time.
Well, these parables we've seen in the last few days, Dick, particularly in 25 about the 10 virgins, which really demonstrate our watchfulness and readiness in life, and then the parable of the talents that were delivered to the believers. This is a parable touching our service. These are the ones that really foreshadow or demonstrate very clearly the secret coming of the Lord for the ready ones, the ripe ones. Let's go to Witness Lee.
Now, chapter 25, verses 31 to the end. This is the section that concerns, in the Lord's prophecy, the Gentile nations. We know at the end of this age, the people on this earth, surely, in the eyes of God, would be of three classes: the Jews, the believers, and the Gentiles. If the Lord's prophecy has only covered the two classes, and it has nothing to do with the Gentile nations, surely here is a gap. Here's something missing, something lacking. So, to make his prophecy so complete, surely he must tell us, at the close of this age, what shall the nations be? And what will happen to the nations? I tell you, the word nations is exactly the word in Greek for Gentiles. And all the Gentiles shall be gathered before him. Listen, you know, when the Lord spoke the 10 virgins, the Lord didn't say the 10 virgins were gathered. The Lord said the 5 came. And then the other 5 also came. Coming, as we have pointed out there, denoting what? Denotes rapture. But as to the Gentiles, the nations, not coming, but they will be gathered. You know, in Matthew chapter 13, the parable of the net, I tell you, that parable equals this section. All the bad things in the sea didn't come out of the sea. They were brought out of the sea. Now, let us read. But when the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, then he shall sit on his throne of glory. I have not one bit of doubt this throne of glory of Christ will be right there in the physical Jerusalem. All the nations will be gathered to the throne of glory of Christ to be judged there. This section is not for the believers. This section is for the nations.
Well, Dick, we've seen through the parables now in Matthew 24 just what will be the situation for Israel and for God's redeemed church, and you touched that in your introduction a moment ago. But we also have the unbelievers, the Gentiles, the nations as they're called, that will be alive at that time, don't we? And surely Matthew must deal with those as well.
He surely does. And as our brother mentioned, in order for the Lord to make his prophecy complete, he needed to include the Gentiles or the unbelievers that are on the earth at the time of his open and visible coming. So you really have God's economy in this whole section. That is his desire to set up his kingdom on this earth with three peoples, not only the Jews, not only the believing Christians, but also the unbelievers who are alive at the time of his visible coming. Like you said earlier, Chris, not many people realize much about this. And many people even mix this section up with a section related to the church or related to the believers in Christ.
Right.
We shouldn't mix them up. The Gentiles that are spoken of here, the nations, are those that are alive on the earth when the Lord actually comes back visibly to this earth. And those who are alive on the earth can hear a gospel. It's a gospel called the eternal gospel, which we'll touch a little later in the program. And this gospel is basically to fear God and to worship him. What this means is don't worship the Antichrist. because at this point in time, Antichrist will want all these nations, all these Gentiles to worship him. But those who hear this gospel and honor this gospel will be recognized by the Lord, and also their fearing of the Lord and worshiping him rather than Antichrist also involves what's brought out in Matthew 25, and that is the unbelievers' care for Christ's little brothers as they go through the tribulation. The believers will be suffering a great deal, those who are still alive on the earth. But while they suffer, if these unbelievers take care of them, they eventually will be called the sheep because they have taken care of Christ's little brothers. Those who ignore them will be considered as goats and will eventually have their portion in the lake of fire, which is just reserved for the devil and his angels. So this is a wonderful, wonderful section showing us the gospel from a little different angle, just related to the unbelievers during the period of the Great Tribulation and at the time when the Lord comes back visibly.
Dick, we have a lot to cover in a short amount of time. This is a big topic, and as we've been pointing out, one that's new to most people. I really hope those listening are able to focus and pay attention to these points. Let's go on now. This judgment that is taking place, we just saw those on the right categorized as the sheep for caring for his little brothers. And just to recap the verses that are also ahead in this portion, those on the left were the unbelievers who did not display such a care, as you said, for God's suffering people during that time. And to them, another portion totally is left. Let's join Witness Lee once again for another section.
The whole earth is under God's administration. God's administration is to carry out his economy. And his economy is to recover this earth and to get his kingdom established in a full way on this earth. God's intention is to leave the heavens. He desires to come down to set up his kingdom on this earth. According to the Bible, in the kingdom of God, there's the need of the priests, and there's the need of the kings. Suppose you have the priests, and you have the kings, and you don't have the people. Is that the kingdom? So in God's kingdom, there is the need of the priests, and of the kings, and also of the people. Now, the Lord gave his final word while he was on the earth concerning God's economy to bring in God's kingdom. This is a final word to tell us what will be the issue of God doing on this earth to bring in his kingdom. And the issue is this. Through all the centuries, hallelujah, God will get three peoples, with the priests, with the kings, and with the citizens, you will have a complete kingdom. So you have the priests teaching the people to worship God, and you have the kings to rule over, taking care of every kind of responsibility, and you have the good citizens.
Well, Dick, in order to have the kingdom properly set up on earth, the Bible is clear there must be three categories of people in that kingdom. It's not a coincidence, it doesn't seem, that there are also three distinct thrones of judgment mentioned in the Bible, is it?
It's not. I like the three verses that bring out these three thrones, Chris. In 2 Corinthians 5:10, it mentions the judgment seat of Christ, and that is the judgment seat of the believers just prior to the end of the Great Tribulation, and this will transpire in the air, where all of the believers will be responsible to be before the judgment seat of Christ to receive either the reward as the overcoming believers to enter into the thousand-year period as overcomers or to suffer a loss for further perfecting that they might be ready for eternity. Then the Lord, from the judgment seat of Christ with his overcoming believers, will descend to this earth at the end of the Great Tribulation. And at that point in time, he will thoroughly slaughter Antichrist, all of his armies, and unquestionably establish his kingdom on this earth with his throne of glory in Jerusalem. And so this is the second throne. And this throne is where he will judge the unbelievers or the Gentiles who are on the earth during the Great Tribulation and who are living at the time of his visible second coming. This throne will be where he determines what happens to these unbelievers that are alive on the earth at that time. Those who took care of his little brothers will be the sheep entering into the sphere and realm of eternal life. The other goats will be sent to the lake of fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. The last throne mentioned is the great white throne in chapter 20 of Revelation, verses 11 and 12. And there, all the unbelievers through all the centuries who have not believed in Christ will be resurrected to stand before God, and because of the unbelief, eventually will all be cast into the lake of fire with the devil and his angels. So these three thrones are the summary of this matter of judgment.
Well, Dick, I think there's an interesting point here. We've got one section left, and in this section, we're going to look at a passage in Revelation that links to this passage in Matthew 25. In this passage that we've just been reading and looking at today, we are seeing people judged at the throne of glory, and their qualification is whether or not they did such things as caring for the sick, giving a drink to the thirsty, clothing those who needed clothing, feeding those who were in prison, things like this. This is not the gospel of grace that we've been saved under. This is obviously a different gospel. There's nowhere in the gospel of grace where our being participants in the coming age is dependent upon these kinds of things. Of course, for us, it's do we believe in Christ and accept the effectiveness of his blood uniquely as the solution for our sin? But this other gospel, what is it? Well, we have to go to chapter 14 of Revelation, a couple of verses there, verse 6 and 7. And this is what it says. And I saw another angel flying in mid-heaven, having an eternal gospel to announce to those dwelling on the earth, even to every nation and tribe and tongue and people, saying with a loud voice, "Fear God and give him glory, because the hour of his judgment has come, and worship him who has made heaven and earth and the sea and the springs of water." This, Dick, is called the eternal gospel. Let's go back to Witness Lee.
God judges people according to three things, according to the law. Every descendant of Adam perishes. And according to the gospel, every believer in Christ is saved. Have you ever heard? There is the third thing according to which God will judge the people. Have you ever heard? In the Bible, there is a gospel that is called the eternal gospel. And in the eternal gospel, what is preached there has nothing to do with Christ. In that gospel, no Christ, only God. And that eternal gospel is revealed in Revelation chapter 14. And in that gospel, what is preached? Fear God and worship God. That's all. All these nations will be gathered to the throne of Christ to be judged not according to the law of Moses, neither according to the gospel of Christ, but they will be judged by God according to what? According to that eternal gospel. All the nations will be gathered there. Christ will separate them according to what? According to one thing. What one thing? How they treat the little brothers of Christ. If they treat the little brothers of Christ in a nice way, Christ says, you are a sheep. If they treat the little brothers of Christ in a bad way, the Lord will say, you are a goat. The sheep go into the kingdom, prepared for them when from the foundation of the world. The Lord told the goat, you evil ones, go into the eternal fire. God had no intention to punish the human beings there. But because you human beings lack to follow the devil, you have to go to his suffering place. At the throne of his glory, he would only care one thing, how you nations treat my little brothers in the great tribulation. Have you ever heard such a thing? But such a thing is in the Bible.
Well, Dick, this must be new to many people, many people who've been reading the Bible for years and never seen this. But it's clear that God now has three criteria or three categories of judgment for his people. The law, the gospel of Christ, and now what is called here in Revelation 14, the eternal gospel. We really need to put these two portions together, don't we? Matthew 25 and Revelation 14 to get a good understanding of this.
We surely do, because in 14 of Revelation, it just says, fear God, worship him, give him the glory. Practically, what does that mean? You really don't understand what that means without Matthew 25. And what does that mean there? It means you who are Gentiles, unbelievers, hearing this eternal gospel, mean to fear him and worship him means don't bow down to the Antichrist, but on the other hand, take care of Christ's little brothers. Take care of all the believers in Christ as they are suffering through this period of time called the Great Tribulation. If you take care of his little brothers, you don't worship the Antichrist, the Lord will take care of you. Even this gospel, Chris, I would say, indicates all the more that our God is fair, even right to the last minute.
Right.
Even these unbelievers, when there's no longer a chance for the gospel of grace to be preached, and people cannot be a believer in Christ, still he preaches another gospel, just about God in a general way. Fear him, worship him, give him the glory, which means don't honor the Antichrist, don't bow down to him, but take care of the embodiment of God, the reality of God, that is Christ, by taking care of his little brothers. Isn't that good?
That's tremendous.
Our God is fair.
Amen.
So we need these two chapters really put together, Matthew 25 and Revelation 14, to show what kind of gospel this is and how people can respond.
I hope this has somewhat whet the appetite of many of our listeners to get into these things in more depth. Of course, we're going to point out the printed material that we have to help them. The eternal life here, the promise to these ones, these Gentiles being judged quickly at this throne of glory, is that they enter into eternal life and become, as we've seen, the citizens, the inhabitants of the kingdom. They don't have the same promise of eternal life that we, the believers in Christ, do, where our portion is to rule and reign with him.
That's right.
For 1,000 years, right? To be the kings and priests with him.
That's true. Because we believers in Christ have Christ as the eternal life come into us, bringing us into the heavenly, divine, spiritual realm, making us one with Christ, even the enlargement of Christ himself. But these Gentiles, because they have taken care of Christ's little brothers through the Great Tribulation, they're allowed to go into the sphere of the divine life. They don't have Christ as the eternal life in them, but they can at least enjoy the benefits of the sphere. There's a great difference. But still, the Lord is fair to take care of even these unbelievers who took care of his little brothers.
Boy, Dick, we are flat out of time. I wish there were more time for this topic. It is so vast and tremendous. Thank you for being here. We'll invite you back very soon. Our toll-free number is 1-888-LIFE-STUDY. That's 888-543-3788. For Dick Taylor today, I'm Chris Wilde, and thank you very much for listening. Thank you for listening to Life Study of the Bible with Witness Lee, brought to you by Living Stream Ministry. The focus of Living Stream is the works of Watchman Nee and Witness Lee, two co-laborers with the Lord in China in the first half of the 20th century. After World War II, Witness Lee brought this ministry first to Taiwan, then later to North America, and eventually to the entire world. For more than 20 years, he spoke these life study messages, unveiling how each book of the Bible shows God's eternal plan. God, through Christ, wants to dispense his life and nature into redeemed man, so that man would become God's expression, enlargement, counterpart, and habitation. These studies go far beyond mere doctrine and unveil a personal, practical, and experiential Christ. In these short 26-minute programs, we summarize and condense Witness Lee's rich speaking. But to enjoy all the riches in these messages, we hope you'll visit our website at lifestudy.com. There, you can read all of the life study messages absolutely free of charge. You can even create your own life study reading schedule or download more life study audio programs just like this one, and all at no cost. Again, the website, lifestudy.com. Thanks for listening.